भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट नंबर 56। ततो तितु कूतुकोदवृत्य ततो तिकूतुकोदवृत्य स्तिमीतेकादशेन्द्रिय तद्दामनाभूदजस्तुष्णिम् पुरदेव्यन्तीव पुत्रीका ततोतिकूतुकोदवृत्य स्तिमीतेकादशेन्द्रिय तद्दाम्नाभूदजस्तुष्णिम् पुरदेव्यन्तीव पुत्रीका ततोतिकूतुकोदवृत्य स्तिमीतैकादशेन्द्रिय तद्धाम्नाभूदजस्तुष्णिम् पुरदेव्यन्तीव पुत्रिका। माताजी सॉरी माताजीस ओके वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग ततः देन अति कुतुक उद्रित्य स्तिमित एकादशेन्द्रिय हुज 11 सेंसेस हैड ऑल बीन जॉल्टेड बाय great astonishment and then stunned by transcendental bliss taddhamana by the effulgence of those Vishnumurtis abhut became ajah lord brahma tushnim silent pudevi anti in the presence of the village deity gramya devata eva just as putrika a clay doll made by a child translation and purport by his divine grace ac bhaktivedanta swami shila prabhupada ki translation Then by the power of the effulgence of those Vishnumurtis, Lord Brahma, his 11 senses, jolted by astonishment and stunned by transcendental bliss, became silent, just like a child's clay doll in the presence of the village deity. Purport. Brahma was stunned because of transcendental bliss. Muhyanti yat suraya. In this astonishment, all his senses were stunned, and he was unable to say or do anything. Brahma had considered himself absolute, thinking himself the only powerful deity. But now his pride was subdued, and he again became merely one of the demigods. An important demigod, of course, but a demigod nonetheless. Brahma, therefore, cannot be compared to God, Krishna or Narayan. It is forbidden to compare Narayan even to demigods like Brahma and Shiva. What to speak of others? Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Devate Samatveneva Viksheta Sapashandi Bhavedruvam. One who considers demigods like Brahma and Shiva to be on an equal level with Narayan must certainly be considered as offender. We should not equate the demigod with Narayan, for even Shankaracharya has forbidden this Narayana Parovyakta. Also, as mentioned in the Vedas, Eko Narayana Asinna Brahma Neshana. In the beginning of creation, there was only the Supreme Personality Narayan, and there was no existence of Brahma or Shiva. Therefore, one who at the end of his life remembers Narayan attains the perfection of life. Ante Narayana Smriti. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamyaham Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sadivam Sadvetam Sadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Twapta Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So if you see, it's mentioned that Brahma was stunned and his all the 11 senses were jolted, shocked he was. So and he was been, is mentioned in the verse itself that is compared like a child's doll in front of the village deity. Brahma was actually, if you see, if you read the Shastras and the prayers in Samhita written by Brahmaji is not an ordinary human being or is an ordinary personality. He is very learned and humble. But if you see in Brahma Samhita how he glorifies Lord Govinda, and when he instructs his son Narada, and in the further chapters of this canto, if you'll see how his prayers have been described in Bhagavatam, is not an ordinary personality. But in this pastime, he's acting otherwise. He's totally a different personality altogether, if you see. So why? Actually, he's not like this. He's not like a child's doll. But it is the circumstances which made him like this. This is because of the result of the intoxication due to the pride for position and power. If you see the intoxicated or the drunken person, he loses his senses. And he doesn't know what he's doing actually. So this power is also intoxicating. It intoxicates and he doesn't understand what position he is in. And they are unpredictable. If drunkard and all, they are unpredictable. So this act of Brahma is also unpredictable in one sense. So it's a good lesson for a practicing devotee like us, that normally it is a tendency of a living entity that when he gets the power, he tries to control. So when one gets the authority and the position, his false ego actually tells him to control things, and he thinks that he is something, and it goes into his mind. Especially in the spiritual life, one should understand that the position and power is never awarded or gifted on your abilities, but it is the mercy which you received from the Lord through his devotees. So one should take the humble position. Actually, sometimes Lord gives the special power to his devotees, and he gets the special strength and power. Especially if you see in Ramayana, Hanumanji was having special powers and he was able to fly to Lanka. But as Lord Ramchandra, who was the source of that power, he had to march through the bridge of the stones. So Lord is giving the special power to his devotee. So that doesn't mean that he should understand that he is higher than the Lord. But Hanumanji actually exhibited it nicely. He actually is the best of the servant. He took the humble position and he understood that whatever I am having the power, the source of that power is Lord Ramchandra. And he is actually making me fly. I am not having any ability. So that should be the mood of a person who has been given the power and the position. But when we get the authority or leadership, we tend to forget the source of that power. And when someone is given the authority or position to look after some subordinates, he actually forgets that he is also been looked down by somebody. He is so engrossed in looking down at his subordinate that he forgets that somebody else is also looking down on him. So that is our position. When one is afflicted by pride, he forgets the original source of his power, knowledge and intelligence. For example, the Indra, when he was sitting in his assembly and he was being glorified by many Siddhas, Chanaras and Gandharvas, he was sitting with his wife Sachidevi, and he was so intoxicated with power that when his spiritual master Brihaspati entered that assembly, he didn't actually stood up also, he didn't offer the sit to his spiritual master, neither he offered a respect to his spiritual master. That was the intoxication of that power. But he got that orb spiritual power from his spiritual master Brihaspati. But he forgot that. But Brihaspati knew everything, that what is to happen in future. So he, just by seeing the transgression of etiquette by Indra, immediately left the place. He was able to curse Indra. He was having that power. But he didn't do so. immediately left. He said that by the destiny he is supposed to suffer. So he just left the place. And what was the result? Indra lost all his opulences and he was being conquered by the demons. So that is what, it's an English saying that pride goes before a fall. So it has to happen, when it has to fall down when this pride comes and it goes into his mind. But this position and authority is so intoxicating that one forgets everything. Actually Dhritarashtra also in Mahabharata, if you see, he was just a caretaker. In the absence of Pandu, Pandu was not there, he was been given the, as a caretaker he was been given the kingdom to rule. But he was thinking that it is his kingdom. He became proud. And he was becoming proud by being king, being himself to be a king, and he wanted his son to be the king of Hastinapur. So in Srimad Bhagavatam also, if you see, almost all the demigods have offended the Supreme Lord by getting intoxicated by the power and the position. If you see Indra in the Govardhan Leela, he offended the Lord. And Brahma has been offending the Lord in this pastime. And Lord Shiva, he also offends the Lord in the Banasur pastime. So all the powerful demigods, they are all knowledgeable person. They know everything. But then still, with this power, which they get from the Supreme Lord himself, but they are offending that Supreme Lord. So one has to be very careful by getting the position or the authority. One should not try to control. One gets that controllership and the position, he can able to achieve the difficult tasks with the position and the mercy of the devotees. But one should not make his mind corrupt by this. If you see modern scientists also, they have got the intelligence. And with that intelligence, they have invented many things and they think they are challenging the material nature. And they are making different things, like they are making artificial rain, they are making dams, they are making the air conditioning systems and heaters, and they want to change the nature, material nature. But if you see recently what happened to the East Coast of United States, the most powerful country in the world, it was helpless against the onslaught of material nature. When this Sandy came, it just destroyed everything and they were not able to do anything. They were just helpless. But if you see in this pastime, Lord Brahma is bewildered with this position and he is became puffed up. But see the Lord's position. He could have easily chastised Brahma. He could have easily done that. He had the power and he was in the position to do that. But still, he doesn't say anything to Brahma. He says that anyhow he is going to, he got bewildered and he was going to suffer according to his karma. But Lord never actually is chastising Brahma. He is just calmly, he is actually understanding what Brahma is going through. So leaders should take a humble position. Even the Lord is not chastising the Brahma. So leaders should take the humble position and understand the needs of his subordinate. And he should be loving, caring and protecting his subordinates. But what we do, we try to control our subordinate and at times we punish them. And with this punishment we make them fearful. They become fearful of the authority. One doesn't have the right to punish unless he loves them. Leader, when he loves, he has the right to punish. Otherwise, he doesn't have the right to punish. Because if you punish only and don't love them, then they'll become rebellious. As it's happening to the modern day youth, if you see, the parents punish them, but they don't give sufficient love and time to the kids, then they become rebellious. So that's how leaders should be. Loving and caring. Actually, you can enforce the laws and rules and regulations on somebody. By enforcing, it can be done. But when that is lovingly done, out of love and respect, if one is understanding and doing it on his own, then the result is different. When one shouts at the subordinates, but simultaneously he is giving it that much love also, that shout doesn't pinch the subordinate. The authority should be loving and caring. There is one nice example of Field Marshal Manekshaw. He was an army chief during the Bangladesh war. Field Marshal Manekshaw, he was a powerful guy. He was very strict also. But once there was a pastime, once a defense secretary, Mr. Mohan Sareen, had come and he was going into the conference room and he saw one colonel sitting beside the window. And he said, "Hey you, open the window." And immediately that colonel stood up and tried to open the window, and then Manekshaw was coming from the other door. And said, "Sit down," with a sharp voice he said. And he just came to Mr. Sareen and he said, "Will you please not in future ever address my colonels like this? Don't dare to address them like this," he said. And he is a colonel, he is not AU. You should understand that, he said that. And then that Sareen murmured that, "Actually I didn't mean that." But then Mr. Manekshaw, he said that, I don't care what you mean. I heard that and I didn't like it. So that is how one authority should be so protecting towards its subordinate. Should always see the things. And if you see, the Srila Prabhupada also was one of them. He was a leader who used to care about his subordinates. If you see in Mayapur, when the temple was not constructed even, he said the long building first came. The long building was first came because he wanted that devotees should be comfortable and stay, and everything should be comfortable for the devotees, and then the temple came up. So he was so concerned about the comforts and he was protecting his subordinates. And there was another pastime of Srila Prabhupada in Hawaii. There was one devotee, Prabhupada disciple, who was the temple president of Hawaii. But when he was also puffed up by the position, and he became little rebellious kind of, and he was acting outside his con, kind of. He was thinking that he was made the trustee of the temple over there, so he thought that he is owning the temple and he is all in all here, and he was not caring for the devotees, and devotees were not happy, and there was two groups been run, and there was slowly and gradually another center came up. So that time Prabhupada was been informed about this, and they were been telling Prabhupada that you just go and chastise this person and take the control of the temple. So Prabhupada, what he did, he came to Hawaii. He came and he actually explained that person what he should be doing, and he gave him the instructions whatever required. He never chastised him, but ultimately he still wanted to be the president and he wanted to be the controller over there. So Prabhupada just calmly just sat, and after that he was giving a class, and in a class one of the follower of that devotee, he asked the question to Prabhupada, are you ISKCON? Actually that time Prabhupada was to be considered the soul of ISKCON, and ISKCON was the body. It was like that, everybody was having that understanding, and there was no difference between Prabhupada and ISKCON. So this person deliberately asked the question, "Prabhupada, are you ISKCON?" Then Prabhupada actually, he could have easily said that, "Yes, I am ISKCON. I am the soul and ISKCON is my body. There is no difference between me and ISKCON." But what Prabhupada said, "No, I am not ISKCON." Prabhupada said, "I am the member of ISKCON. And this temple president, he is the member of ISKCON. You are the member of ISKCON. And all devotees sitting here are member of ISKCON. We all are member of ISKCON and we should work under ISKCON." So humbly he conveyed the message to the temple president, and simultaneously he didn't chastise also, and And slowly and gradually he understood his position, that devotee, and later on Prabhupada gave him the sannyas also. So that is the position. One should understand that one has to be loving, caring and protecting towards his subordinate. Chastisement, punishment required sometimes. You can give, you can penalize somebody. But with love and care, if you balance the both, then it can be worked smoothly. Because if you see punishment, the work of punishment already Durga is doing. Whatever karma you are doing, you are either enjoying or suffering according to that. So Durga is already there to punish. And Durga is, she is the fortress, she is the jailer, and we all are the prisoner. Either the authority or the subordinate, whomever our conditioned soul, they are here as a prisoner. One is a senior prisoner and one is a junior prisoner. So what right the prisoner has to punish the prisoner? One has to be strict at certain standards of authority. One can penalize, but in a mood of doing the service to that devotee, to just for his benefit, one should understand that. Leaders should never think their subordinates to be their property and mishandle them. Actually, servant have to feel that and serve in the mood of das, dasanu das. But the leader should not think that he is a boss, bossanu boss. Actually, his servant has to think that he is das, dasanu das. And he said that one has to be the slave of the spiritual master. But that feeling should be there in the heart of the disciple, that he is the slave of the spiritual master. But this pride of position has to get as in later on in the purport, Prabhupada says that Brahma's pride was subdued. But for that subduedment, what was required? A kick to Brahma. The material nature kicks that pridey, proud and puffed up devotee, that he understand, and later on he realizes his mistake and he is subdued, his pride is subdued. And then Prabhupada mentions about, Prabhupada says that his pride was subdued and he again become merely one of the demigods. An important demigod of course, but a demigod nonetheless. Brahma therefore cannot be compared to God or Krishna or Narayan. And he actually quotes the Chaitanya Charitamrita verse which mentions the second apradh on the holy name, to consider the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the names of Lord Vishnu. So one has to understand that demigods, although they are powerful, they are the chosen ones by the Lord to exhibit the certain duties, but they are still the conditioned soul. Actually, Krishna is the only one, or Narayan is the only one, as mentioned later on by Shankaracharya, that Narayan o paro vyaktat. He is above these modes and above the material nature. Otherwise, everybody is under the control of Maya. Demigods are actually different part of the universal body of the Supreme Lord. So they are designated to supply necessities of life that the human society requires. They are actually given the position of demigod. They are given certain, designated for certain jobs which they are supposed to do, but they can never be the Lord. They try to be the Lord of the universe, but they can never be the Lord, because Lord is the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna himself only. One should not consider demigod to be a Lord, and demigod and Lord to be at the same level, as it is said in this verse. Demigods are actually different parts and parcel, as we mentioned, and they cannot be on the same level. As in the Brahma Samhita, Brahmaji himself, he actually says that Yashcheka Nishasitakala Mathavya Lamba Jivanti Loma Vilja Jagadandanata Vishnur Mahansa Yashakala Vishesho. Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So in this shloka it is actually mentioned that what is the position of Brahma and what is Vishnu. Brahma is actually addressed here as Jagadanda Natha. So Brahmanda is the leader of this Brahman, is Jagadanda Natha. But he actually is only the Amsha, Kala Vishesho. It is written that he is Kala Vishesho. He is the portion of the portion of a Mahavishnu, who in term himself, Mahavishnu is an expansion of expansion. And Lord Brahma is the portion of a portion of that Mahavishnu. So he is, actually if you see, Mahavishnu, the source of Mahavishnu is Narayan. And Narayan is actually, if you see from Krishna comes the expansion Shankarshan, and from Shankarshan is Chaturvya, and from Chaturvya is Narayan, and then Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, and from there Mahavishnu, and from that Mahavishnu, all the Garbhodakshayi Vishnus comes. So there is a Garbhodakshayi Vishnu in each and every universes. There are millions of universes. There are millions of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. They have come from Mahavishnu. And from these millions of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, from their navel the lotus comes, and from that lotus Brahmaji is sprouted, and Brahmaji comes from there. And he is the secondary creator of this universe. And then he creates this universe, and from Brahmaji comes Shiva. And from then, from living entities, comes. So this way, Brahmaji is the portion of Mahavishnu, who in turn is an expansion of a Supreme Lord. So how can you compare Lord Brahma or any demigod in that sense with the Supreme Lord? They are given power by Supreme Lord to exhibit some necessary designated work which has been given, but still they are working under him. The source of that power, the source of everything that supplied by the demigods is Supreme Lord himself. And about Shivji also, there is a verse in, and Shiram yatha dadi vikara vishara yasya. So especially in that verse, it mentions that like milk, when it gets connected with acid, it becomes curd. So similarly, Shivji is non-different from Lord, but when it gets in contact with the material nature, it becomes, as milk is converted into curd, similarly Shivji is converted into, Lord is converted into Shambhu. He is not different from Lord, but he is still different. How milk and curd are non-different, but curd cannot be used as milk. Curd has its own chemical propositions, and milk has its own. Milk can be used to make different sweets, rabdis, sweet rice, but curd cannot make that. So similarly, Shambhu has also come from Krishna. And Durga also, if you see, that is also, there is a verse in Brahma Samhita which says, Srishti Siti Sada Sakti Reva Eva Yasya Bhuvanani Bhirti Durga Ichhanurupapi Yasya Chachesta Tesa. So this Durga is also working under the Lord. I said, Ichhanu Rupa Api Yasya Cheshtatesa. So according to Lord desire, Durga is been working under Lord's desire. As Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita also. They all are given, so these all the demigods are being given the exalted position, but the Lord is still, he is above all. And all of them are in the conditioned state, and they are working under the Narayan. As Narayan is the only transcendental one who is not influenced by Maya. Otherwise, all the demigods are under the clutches of Maya. And Vishnu and Krishna are the master, is the master of this Maya. And Lord Shiva himself states that Mukti Pradata Sarvesham Vishnur Evana Samsaya. So there is no doubt that Vishnu is the deliverer of the liberation for everyone. So they are all the demigods are the energies of the Lord. He is the energetic and they all are the energies of the Lord. So one should understand that one has to worship energy. One can worship energy with energetic. One cannot worship separate energy from the energetic. So one has to understand the position. But if you see today, if you see in the Mahalakshmi, there will be thousands and thousands of people taking darshan on the day of Diwali. But if you see in that Mahalakshmi, there is a deity of Mahalakshmi, Saraswati and Durga. But there is no Narayan over there, the master of all three. There is no there. So that is not, that's it's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita also, that is avidhi purvakam. So that not according to the Shastra. That is not according to the vidhi. So one has to understand that Lakshmi cannot be worshipped other than Narayan. There should be Lakshmi and Narayan. So all the demigods similarly have their position due to Narayan. And it's mentioned that there are three types of Shaktis. One is Jiva Shakti, then three types of Tattva, Jiva Takta, Shakti Tattva and Vishnu Tattva. So these all are Shakti Tattvas. They are actually fall under the Jiva Tattva only, but above all is a Vishnu Tattva. So one has to understand that and not offend, as it's mentioned in this sloka, that one who actually thinks that they are independent and worshipping them as the in the level of Lord Vishnu, they are Pashandis or offenders. So one has to understand that and then one can Ante Narayana Smriti. One can get the Narayana Smriti at the end of his life and perfect his life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.